Romuno. I am here on behalf of my brother, L. Vince Romuno, who unfortunately is ill today. And I don't know if the court remembers, but some time ago, the appellee's attorney was ill, and rather than rescheduling it again, he thought that it would be appropriate to volunteer myself to appear in front of the court.
Well, we appreciate you saving us the rescheduling.
So here I am. This is a slip and fall case. As most slip and fall cases, it is not a perfect set of facts. So it could be with 12 people, could have 12 different interpretations of those facts. And it's not our job, at least at this level, in a motion for summary judgment or trial court's level, to decide which version is the one that he or she may like. It is simply trying to determine if one version is sufficient to establish, or a jury is sufficient to establish, that there's negligence. And so in this particular case, I'm going to sort of give you one version that I believe, based on the facts, that in light most favorable to the plaintiff, the jury could find. This is...
Well, but before you get there, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but in my mind, the case is focused more on the legal duty of the defendant than it is on a concession that the facts be interpreted in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, and the argument that perhaps there may be a theory of the fall that would be consistent with a breach of duty. But the real question in my mind is, at this stage of summary judgment, what and how would you articulate the supermarket's duty with a focus on notice or inquiry notice that there was something wrong in the aisle that would trigger some duty on their part to correct it before the lady slipped?
Okay.
Let's assume she slipped on a quarter-sized water that was from condensation from the ice cream that was to be put in the refrigerator or had been put in the refrigerator and brought up from the back room up to the front. Let's assume all that's true.
Okay.
But why would they have a duty without notice that there was a problem under those circumstances?
Okay. Let's talk specifically that area, and then we can actually narrow the issue.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm interrupting your train, but I just want to get it off my mind before you go into the facts.
Actually, I'm glad that Your Honor is focusing in on that issue, because there were two issues at the trial level. One was there water there? And then that discussion about whether there was or was not water based on the fact that she didn't see the water but felt the water on her leg. So based on, I think, what Your Honor is saying is, let's assume that there was water on there, dangerous condition. So what's the duty from the supermarket? All right. This was a reoccurring event that was occurring that day. That basically what was happening is, as Your Honor had indicated, there was frozen products, ice cream, being brought from the freezer section to the display area. And they were, in this particular case, looks like there was a number of things going on. One was a stack of ice cream that was on the floor, that was left on the floor. And, of course, after a period of time, there's condensation. And the condensation would then leak onto the floor. There is the one of the employees from the ice cream company that was actually bringing ice cream in a shopping cart. He said he did it that way. He would take ice cream onto the shopping cart and then bring it out to the display and then stock it. And there was another employee doing some tagging in that area of the products. There was also the opening and closing of doors, which, of course, causes condensation. They know this is a recurring thing. I mean, they do it. And they know that there is condensation that occurs from the pallet that's on the floor and stays there because it's frozen, it's warmer than the freezer, and that creates water. They know that there is water that may drip from the carrying of the ice cream from the freezer to the shelves, the display shelves, when they're carrying it across. There may be water condensation. When you're opening up the doors, there's condensation. And all this is something they know because they dealt with it in the past, something that actually is common knowledge. They actually, I asked the question, and I can cite it in the transcript or I think it was the deposition. Well, did they know about it? Yes. Does it occur? Yes. Did they take any steps to prevent it? Yes. One of the things that this individual indicated is they will have, for example, paper towels and clean it up. And in fact, Janice Hazel indicated that after her fall, an employee came up with paper towels to clean it up. They also could put out signs warning customers that, look, you know, we're in the process of doing this. It's going to take longer than normal. And so
– okay, so your position on the duty is it's not that either factually or legally in constructing a duty that the supermarket has to know that the water is there at that moment. But your theory is that the common practice on a regular basis of stocking that refrigerator, they knew could result from time to time in water puddling in whatever size on the floor, and that they were on notice to keep a lookout for that and to clean it up when they discovered it.
Yes.
That's your position?
That's correct.
Okay.
And the other thing I was mentioning is the signs. Because they know this happens, they could have signs out. Obviously, it's circumstantial, of course, depending on what the circumstances are. But if I leave a pallet of ice cream there for 1 second, then I may not want to need to put the signs out because it's not going to happen properly. I'll still keep a lookout for water. But if I'm leaving it out for a period of time, that's clearly going to be condensation.
Well, so it's not an issue of whether the Edie's ice cream man said on this particular day when I stocked it, I didn't see any water. That's not the point. The point is the plaintiff saw water later or claims to have seen water later and claims that she slipped in that area, correct?
Well, it's not just the Edie, but it was also an employee of the ShopRite.
Okay.
There's various different employees there that would have the responsibility of making sure that.
So the duty arises out of the known operational protocols that water can condense, water can then leak or puddle to the floor.
Yes.
And your theory is that they were on notice about that and they should have or could have taken steps that they did not take.
That's correct.
And that's how they breached their duty to the
plant.
Right.
Like put a mat out in the area where this ice cream pallet is. So that if water is leaking on after a period of time, the mat would soak it up.
Okay.
Just like when it rains.
I wanted to know your theory of duty.
Yes.
Mr. Romano.
It's similar to when it rains and you put mats out to
Mr. Romano.
Pick up the people where they're bringing water into the
Mr. Romano.
Sorry, Judge.
I want to follow up on the Chief Justice's question. It appears from your answer to his question that the liability of the store is very dependent on the negligence of the ice cream people. That is to say, it's because of the activity of the ice cream person who was basically removing the ice cream from the pallet, putting it in the freezer, during which time moisture accumulated and the floor got wet. That triggered a duty on the part of the store. Is that right?
I think that may be part of it, Your Honor. But remember, there is two different things going on at that point.
Let me ask the question. Let's assume, this is hypothetical,
yes,
that the trial judge, after looking at the record, found that, yes, the ice cream employee was doing was in the process of removing ice cream from the pallet and putting them in the freezer. And it's also the case that there may have been some moisture that either did or didn't get down to the floor. But all of that was in an area totally removed from where this plaintiff fell. Let's assume those are the record facts. Do you have a case? That is there some independent wrong that the store that would support liability against the store on that record?
Okay. Just so I understand the hypothetical, I think what Your Honor is saying, we're taking the position that the ice cream guy is working in a different area than where my
right, and what he's doing is irrelevant, basically.
Right. And okay. So that the ice cream guy is working in a different area, and he would not be bringing any of the ice cream in the area where my client fell.
Right. So if your client fell on some wet spot, it wasn't a wet spot that was created by the ice cream person.
So that basically then we would then my position would be that the ice cream individual would not be responsible. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
But would there still be enough in the record to hold the store in?
Based on a hypothetical, I still believe that they would have not known but should have known that there was water in that area and should have done something about it.
And is that the claim that's being asserted here?
Not directly. What we're saying is that there was an ice cream pallet.
Okay, so what I'm asking is the claim against the store direct flow, is it dependent on the claim against the ice cream person?
No.
So that if there were no ice cream person and there were just a slip and fall, your case would still stand
yes.
against the store?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. Well, let's go back to the ice cream person based on Justice Jacob's hypothetical. As I understand your theory, it's if the store allows the ice cream person to stock the freezer themselves, the ice cream persons, the store has an obligation to make sure that they don't drip water across the store when they're moving the ice cream, and they have an obligation to make sure that water doesn't drip in the aisle outside the freezer. And since they know ice cream people will be coming in and out every week, a couple of times a week, they have a duty to put something in place that will make sure water doesn't drip on the floor or stay there if it does drip. Is that right?
That's correct. And I'm also saying, though, we get this ice cream guy may be sort of a red herring in this whole process, but I think another way that the jury could find this is that the ice cream pallet has nothing to do with the ice cream guy, and that the ice cream pallet is there because there was other employees doing things. Because the ice cream guy actually doesn't talk about the ice cream pallet itself. He talks about bringing ice cream from the back. So I believe that the jury could say, okay, that ice cream pallet is maybe from another ice cream guy or maybe from the store itself. Somehow that ice cream pallet is there. Because the ice cream guy does not talk about the pallet. He talks about going to the back and bringing it from the back to the front in that shopping cart. So when we first looked at this case, we believed that it was the ice cream pallet that was causing the condensation. That's what caused the leak. And that the store employees were responsible for that ice cream pallet. And even to this day, there's no indication that the ice cream guy itself was involved in that pallet. So that some employee, some individual put it there, left it there, and the store did nothing about it.
All right. Well, then, stating my question about duty more generally, your theory is whether the ice cream is getting into the freezer through ice cream employees or store employees, the store knows it wants to get ice cream into the freezer, and the store knows that sometimes there's condensation that causes moisture, and the store has a duty to keep the store safe for customers.
Yes, that's correct. It goes back to my example of people coming into the store on a rainy day. You know, they're not even employees. They're just basically customers. But they have a duty, at least in my view, to put carpet or mat down because they know that people are coming in. And of course, there's been many cases along those lines that have went to trial. And a jury sometimes finds negligence and sometimes does not find negligence based on what they believe is reasonable under that set of circumstances.
Was there an allegation of failure to warn in this case?
Failure to warn is an allegation as well. I was yeah. mentioning there's no wet floor signs, there's no mats out. That's an allegation as well.
Mr. Ramuno, the
yes.
reason that I was questioning you about whether the claim against the store was or wasn't dependent upon the claim against the ice cream folks is that the basically, the course of conduct relating to the removal of the ice cream and its placement into the freezer was critical on the issue of the store's notice. Correct? That is the way that you can argue that the store either knew or should have known that there would or might be moisture on the floor is because it was aware of the custom and practice of transferring the ice cream from the pallet to the freezer. Now, if we assume, and we're going back to my hypothetical again, that the ice cream person, whatever that person was doing it far away from the place where the fall occurred, and that therefore the moisture or the quarter-size wet spot that the plaintiff fell on was not attributable to the ice cream people. Assuming those are the facts, what is your theory that the store had noticed, that is, knew or should have known, that there would be a problem?
The ice cream pallet was placed there by either one of the store employees or some other ice cream guy. It appears not to be this particular ice cream guy because he doesn't talk about that pallet. He talks about going to the back of the store and bringing it in a shopping cart. So that ice cream pallet that was there actually may not have any connection to that employee.
So we have two ice cream pallets now?
Well, no, there's one, but, okay. My understanding.
I mean, one of them just sitting there and dripping water, and the other, and then where is the ice cream guy?
According to what the individual employee said, he takes the ice cream from the back of the store, from the freezers in the back, and then puts them in shopping carts, and then brings them to where he's putting them in the shelves. That's what he said. That he does not say he's taking it from that pallet that had the plastic over it that my client saw and fell near that plastic, near that pallet.
Okay, so it sounds to me, and tell me if I'm right or not, that for the store to be held liable, and that is to be held into the case on a theory of negligence liability, that there has to be some act or omission by the ice cream people.
No, I disagree.
Well,
as I understand your recitation of the fact, there are two separate sources of ice cream. One's the pallet, one's the shopping cart. And we know the ice cream man, who was not a store employee, was doing the shopping cart. It's uncertain who was doing the pallet. At least the ice cream man disavows any involvement with the pallet. So in your case, you have two possible sources of moisture.
That's correct.
But independent of the source of the moisture, since the store knows it's getting ice cream into the freezer in at least now two different ways, the store has a duty to make sure that moisture is not on the floor.
That's correct. Or put warning signs out or put mats for when this operation is occurring.
I'm very confused, I'm sorry to say,
okay.
But what record evidence is there that your client was at or about where the pallets of ice cream were when she fell?
I think everybody will agree that she was next to that pallet when she fell. I don't think there's any controversy about that, Your Honor. I think that it's clear that that's not an issue. I can cite it if Your Honor wishes. It's I'm using the appellee's appendix to the answering brief. And you'll see that on B24, page 46, the plaintiff was explaining where she fell, and she said, there was, and I'm quoting, so please forgive me, on that was a big load of ice cream covered in plastic. And then she talks about how she fell. And then later on page 48, says on line one, and just keep in mind that ice cream, it was pretty big pallet of ice cream there, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you call it, but there was a lot of ice cream in the middle of the aisle, not in the freezer. But there's other places, including a diagram that was also B33 that talks about where she fell next to the pallet versus where the ice cream guy said he was putting ice cream in. They call them a coffin something freezer versus the stand-up freezer, something like that. I forget what they call it. But I think that issue, Your Honor, is not in controversy. At the trial level, there was actually two issues. One was whether there was water or not water on the floor. And the second issue, which wasn't that major of an issue, was the notice. It's become more of, an issue now at this stage. At this point, I'm sort of interrupted my original way I was going to handle this, but I was trying to just explain that there is many versions, and from direct and circumstantial, I was going to give the court one version. And then I was going to invite the defense to agree or disagree with that version, and based on that version, whether or not there would be any negligence. But I think at this point, I'm going to stop and let the defense explain why they don't think that any version would not have any negligence, or at least what the jury could decide. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Richard Abrams for Appellee, Delaware Supermarkets, Inc. May it please the Court. Appellant contends that Delaware Supermarkets, Inc. was not entitled to notice of the alleged hazardous condition in this case because it's been satisfactorily established that the alleged hazard was created either by Delaware Supermarkets, Inc. through this pallet that was sitting out on the floor, or through Edie's Ice Cream's employee, Michael Klingensmith, who was the gentleman who was pushing product around in a shopping cart and loading freezers at the time the plaintiff.
Before you get to notice, can we start with the Chief Justice's question about duty? If the supermarket puts ice cream in the freezer, either through its own employees or permits the ice cream vendors to have, you know, their employees stock it, and they know that sometimes moisture accompanies ice cream, it's a recurring activity. What, if any, duty does the supermarket have?
I agree that if there's evidence that it's a recurring activity with moisture being a problem and dropping on the floor, that they're not entitled to notice. I agree with that. And if there was any evidence of that in this case, then it would have been improper for the Superior Court to dismiss this case on summary judgment, and appellant should absolutely win today. But the problem is the record in this case is entirely different than what has been suggested in the appellee's brief, and the appellant's brief, and in the records in this case. The facts are not what is being contended. There is no evidence in this case that there was moisture on any of Mr. Klingensmith's product that was dripping or in any way getting on the floor. There's absolutely no evidence of that. The only evidence of condensation or moisture on the pallet of ice cream is the statement by the plaintiff that she saw some frost and what appeared to be a condition of sweating on the inside of the plastic. Now, what the record evidence clearly shows, she was asked to describe the pallet, she was asked what she saw, and she gave a lot of detail in response to those questions. She explained that they were square containers, half gallons. It was approximately 4 foot high and about 4 foot square. It was slightly raised up off the floor on a wooden pallet, but when I asked her at her deposition and at the arbitration, did you look to see on the ground if there was any water coming from this? She says, I looked and I didn't see any.
Well, I'm not sure you've responded to the inquiry because you seem to be focusing on there's no evidence of water that day. Is there evidence that the supermarket was on notice that there could be water on the floor when ice cream was being stocked?
Okay. Specifically to Your Honor's question, no. There were no questions asked of any ShopRite employee, supervisor, manager, or witness that would answer that question in the affirmative, that they were on notice, that there was a recurring problem, that there was a frequency, that there was a pattern of conduct, a recurring incident, or a general or continuing condition that would have excused the plaintiff from notice. There's no evidence of that.
Well, wait a second. If the store carries ice cream, and if they stock ice cream on a regular basis, and there is evidence of both of those things,
yes,
can't one reasonably infer from that ice cream is likely to create the potential water hazard?
That's an assumption, and you would need some evidence to back that up.
Well, what about the fact that the plaintiff saw frost on the outside of the ice cream containers?
I don't dispute that. But there was no evidence that first of all, nobody knows how long that pallet was there. The plaintiff is...
No. We're talking right now about whether the supermarket was aware of a continuing practice that led to giving the supermarket or requiring the supermarket to undertake some steps as part of its duty of care to make sure people didn't get hurt. And you're saying there's no evidence that there was a problem. And I'm asking whether just the fact that there is a regular process of restocking frozen foods, isn't that enough awareness of a potential problem? Because anytime you have frozen foods with a store temperature that's warmer than freezing, you've got a melting issue.
Potential.
Right.
Potential for right. melting issue. If it's done correctly, if the product isn't out of the freezer for an unreasonable amount of time or an amount of time that allows there to be a problem, you don't have a recurring problem. You don't have a continuing problem or a problem that you need to take any steps for. One of the reasons Mr. Klingensmith explained that he does the practice of putting a couple of sleeves of ice cream in the shopping cart the way he does it is so that it's not out of the freezer too long, and it only takes him a couple minutes to go to the back, bring it out, and stock it. And I have to be honest with the court, the plaintiff is the only one who says she ever saw a pallet of ice cream on the floor in the supermarket. There is not one witness in this case, not one supervisor, none of the people that testified.
Doesn't the jury normally assess credibility?
Yes, and I'm not trying to suggest that it wasn't there. What I'm saying is she is the only one who observed it and says anything about this condition. But
how is that not suggesting that it wasn't there when you say she's the only one that claims it's there and none of the employees in the store ever said there was a pallet of ice cream there?
I'm stuck with that fact for summary judgment.
Okay.
And I don't dispute that. And I can't get away from the fact that she says there was frost and some condensation on it.
Well, you seem to think because she testified she didn't see any moisture, and there wasn't any moisture. But she then also testified she slipped and fell on some moisture. So we either assume there was no moisture and she's not credible that she slipped and fell, or she didn't see the moisture that was there, or she stepped into it intentionally. Wouldn't tell us with those choices why summary judgment was appropriate in this case.
I will, Your Honor. Thank you. We don't dispute for purposes of summary judgment that Ms. Hazel slipped and fell and that she had water on the back of her leg after she got up. It's probably fair to assume she's entitled to the inference that the water or substance was on the floor and she didn't look and was excused from looking because she said she was shopping. The question is, where did that water come from? There's no evidence of where it came from. All we know is that there's a pallet of ice cream, allegedly, that she says was there, that it was in the condition that she observed it. When asked if there was any water around the floor or the bottom of this pallet, or anywhere for that matter, nobody saw any water. The only reference...
I know that. But let's go back to looking at the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff for purposes of summary judgment. You just indicated you admit water after the fact, after the fall. She, even though she's the only one, says there was a pallet of ice cream near where I fell. She's suggesting through her attorney there's an inference that what she fell in was moisture that got on the floor because of condensation, because this ice cream pallet was in close proximity to where she fell. Tell us, as a matter of law, if we take all of those facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, why her case gets dismissed.
Because I think there's a break between there being a pallet there and there being water from the pallet, as opposed to any other possible potential source. And
just tell me hypothetically, how does the store defend that? They say, well, nice try, but the water didn't come from the pallet, and we admit there was water on the floor and you fell in it, but you lose because you picked the wrong source of the water. Is that how the store would defend the case?
Are you asking a trial, Your Honor?
Well, I'm just asking generally, because you seem to say, as a matter of law, if the water didn't come from the ice cream pallet, she's out of court. It doesn't matter that you agree she slipped in some water, she had water on her leg for purposes of summary judgment when she stood up, that somehow that's not the store's. The store had no duty to prevent the water from being on the floor.
I'm not saying that. The question is whether we're in a situation where notice is required or notice isn't required. If we're operating under a situation where notice is required, then the store had no notice of the condition which caused plaintiff to fall. If we're in a situation where notice is excused because the plaintiffs have established a pattern of conduct, a recurring incident, or a general or continuing condition which excuses notice. In other words, there's this continuing.
I understand your answer. So if the source of the water was the pallet, summary judgment would have been inappropriate.
Correct.
But if the source of the water was a child spilling their drink, then the store probably would have had a good defense because it had no notice the child spilled the drink.
Correct.
So it all turns on whether there's a reasonable inference that the source of the water was the pallet.
Correct. And what that brings us back to is establishing the right level of duty for the store in this particular case. And what you have to look to the record for, and in any of the cases where this issue has been an issue, what the court has looked to is for evidence of a pattern of conduct, a recurring incident, a general or continuing condition that the store is aware of, that therefore would excuse the plaintiff in this case from the burden of having to prove notice. And our main argument in this case is there is no evidence of a pattern of conduct, a recurring incident, or a general or continuing condition in general, and specifically none of those facts on the day in question. There's no evidence that Mr. Klingensmith's product had moisture on it or was dripping or there was a problem with what he was doing. These doors that supposedly had condensation on them, there's no evidence of that.
But and can you respond to this then? This is at A15. The question is to the Edie's ice cream man. But by the way, this was not a question that he asked. You said that sometimes you do get condensation or the frozen ice or whatever leaks and you get it on the floor, and you said you make sure that it doesn't happen, but if it happens, what do you do about it? Answer, we clean it up with paper towels and get a wet floor sign if it's sitting there for a while. I mean, if you're helping somebody or whatever, yeah, it's not too bad.
Yes,
can't we infer from that this has happened before?
Well, that I guess is the question. Is that enough that this is a recurring, continuing problem? If your vendor has some experience, I mean, basically the question that prompted that response from this is, hasn't this ever happened? And I think he was giving a fair response when he said, yeah, ever? Yeah, sure, it's happened. I don't think saying that it's happened and what you do when it happens rises to the level of a recurring incident that's a general or continuing condition that's a pattern of conduct. I don't think you get there. I mean, it would be unfair to say that the supermarket's never had drops of water in the frozen department or any aisle for that matter. I mean, it's a very high volume store. But the question is, do we have facts of record in this case that bring us to the level where notice is excused, or did plaintiff have the burden to demonstrate that the store knew or would have discovered through reasonable inspections the condition that ultimately led plaintiff to fall?
I'm not sure what you mean when you say notice was excused. You mean they either had notice and therefore that's not an issue, or they didn't have to have notice?
I believe, Your Honor, the law, at least under the Kanoi versus Crothall American case, suggests, and in other jurisdictions it seems to be a general rule, that if the problem's created by the defendant isn't entitled to notice.
You seem to be arguing that it doesn't matter if ice cream pallets drip occasionally or have drip occasionally in the past. The issue in this case is, did this specific pallet drip, and did the store have notice of the drip? Is that right?
Can I ask you to repeat that, Your Honor?
My question is, you seem to say that even if this pallet dripped, caused moisture, water to be on the floor, the store had no notice that this specific pallet was dripping, therefore it had no duty.
I'm not saying exactly that. I think what I'm saying is there was no evidence that this pallet was dripping. If there was evidence that water was getting on the floor from this pallet, I think perhaps it would. This case should have gone to the jury.
Right. As I understand your position, the only evidence of any water being on the floor in the past as a result of the movement of ice cream was Klingensmith saying that when he stocked the shelf from time to time, he might see some water either from his ice cream or leaking from the door of the refrigerator. But nobody says anything about any pallet at any time ever having condensation leak on the floor.
Absolutely correct, and especially with respect to this incident. And the plaintiff was asked specifically what she saw, and she didn't see any water around the bottom of the pallet. There's no evidence that there was any dripping going on or any problems with the ice cream that was being stocked that day. There's certainly no evidence that there were any doors in the area where the plaintiff was.
Is there anything to what I took you to have said earlier, that Klingensmith handled his ice cream for Edie's the way he handled it in order to prevent, as best he could, any condensation dripping on the floor as he brought it from the back to the refrigerator for the customers?
I believe that's correct.
He had a particular way of handling it so that wouldn't happen, correct?
Correct.
Does that alone establish that it's a sufficient possibility the movement of ice cream or the placement of ice cream anywhere in the store might cause a water problem on the floor, certainly in the ice cream aisle where this lady apparently fell, and that therefore the store is on notice to periodically check for that condition on the floor? Is that too loose a connection, or is that a sufficient connection to get by the notice and the duty requirement to get past summary judgment?
I'm not sure how to answer that question, Your Honor.
Nor am I, which is why I ask it.
Yeah. I have to say that would not be enough. The problem is the questions that needed to be asked and the record that needed to be developed in this case to withstand summary judgment was not developed. And the evidence is insufficient to relax the standard and excuse the notice requirement in this case. The evidence that would be needed isn't present and isn't in the record. And I understand that the plaintiff makes a lot of statements about what the record shows, but I would strongly encourage this court, before it accepts any fact as a fact in this case, to be sure that it's in the record itself, because there's a lot of statements that just they're not correct.
Well, now, your opponent cites a rule of law from the Tennessee Court of Appeals in the Barrett case.
Yes.
And let me just read it to you because it's not long. The requirements of constructive notice may be met where a dangerous condition inside a self-serve business is not an isolated one but is reasonably foreseeable to the owner, because the condition is established by a pattern of conduct, a recurring incident, or a general or continuing condition. Do you agree with that rule of law?
That's the rule I've been citing, Your Honor, and referring to, correct. Yes, I agree that's a fair statement of what the rule probably should be.
Just to follow up on the Chief Justice's question, you know, your response to a number of our questions has been, well, the record just isn't sufficient, the evidence isn't there. What additional evidence precisely would have been required in this record, in your view, to defeat summary judgment? I mean, what facts are missing here?
Well, I believe some questions to the store manager or the frozen food manager of asking questions about.
I'm not asking about which witnesses. I'm asking what facts.
Okay.
What testimony?
has the supermarket experienced a recurring problem with water falling on the floor when frozen product is put away? Is there a general or a continuing condition with water dripping on the floor and getting in the area where the customers are when products being stocked? Any sorts of questions, Your Honor, that would establish a pattern of conduct, a recurring incident, or a general or continuing condition, as opposed to an isolated incident or an occasional happening, which in my opinion, and Chief Justice Steele, this may be me finally answering your question. I think what Mr. Klingensmith was describing was more of an occasional occurrence, that sometimes it happens, and when it does, this is what we do about it. We clean it up, et cetera. And I think the real question is, are we talking about an occasional occurrence with water getting on the floor from frozen product, or is there any evidence to suggest that this is a regular, continuing, ongoing problem that rises to the level that the store is not entitled to notice?
Well, does it always have to be a regular, occurring problem? And I'd like your comment on Wilson versus Derrickson. That's a case decided by this court in 1961. A quote, unless such condition is known or should have been known to the defendants, there was no duty imposed upon them to take steps to remedy it. So if you take the approach that this is an occurrence that should have been known, that ice cream, stocking ice cream, can create condensation, you don't have to have proof that it occurred, do you?
I think you need some evidence that it's a recurring problem, Your Honor, that it's not just an occasional incident.
Your position is that this is very similar to a hypothetical that I'll give you, where a parent is pushing a shopping cart. There's a four-year-old in the cart, and as they go down the aisle, the four-year-old reaches out, touches a bottle of Bertolli extra virgin olive oil, it falls on the floor, breaks, and they keep on going and don't say anything, either because they're embarrassed it happened, they don't want to pay for it, or anything else. Somebody comes and slips and falls before any employee of the store knows that there's a broken bottle of olive oil on the floor, creating a dangerous condition. That doesn't give rise to a duty to know that it has fallen. It's a duty, once you know it has happened, to clean it up before someone falls.
Correct.
You're saying this situation is the same because there's no evidence of a continuing problem with condensation accumulating on the floor in the ice cream aisle in such a way that would cause the unsuspecting shopper who's diverted to the yogurt on the right rather than the ice cream on the left from falling. Is that your position?
Yes, and more specifically, that we don't know what the source of the moisture was in this case. And when you look at the potential sources, you don't get to, there's no evidence supporting that these were the sources. I mean, more importantly.
I'd like to ask you a hypothetical that focuses specifically on a store deciding for the first time to sell a particular product. So there cannot possibly be a recurrence because it's never been sold before. We're going to sell block ice, and they bring in block ice off a truck, and they're loading it into a freezer. Are you saying that because this is the first time, that because there's no proof that it's recurred, that there cannot be liability for water on the floor
in
that circumstance?
Your Honor, if there's evidence that the water came from the block ice, absolutely. The problem is, where is the evidence in this case that it came from the pallet or came from Mr. Klingensmith or from the door or from any other source? That's the problem.
Well, that goes back to my question. If we assume the water on the floor was in the vicinity of the pallet, is that enough to get you beyond summary judgment unless you can say unequivocally the pallet was the source of the water? And admittedly, the water could have come from the olive oil, from the child's cup, or the pallet. But if your fall is in the vicinity of the pallet and the pallet has the potential generating water, is that enough to get you by summary judgment?
I don't believe so in this case, given the facts of record in this case. The fact that the plaintiff looked at the pallet and there was nothing on the floor around the pallet. How can anyone begin to explain how you have water over here that the plaintiff falls in and a pallet over here and there's nothing? I mean, common sense, if that's what we're going to use, would suggest that you would see water somewhere around the bottom of this pallet.
I appreciate your answer. Let me interrupt you because you've just run out of time. But I'm interested. You suggested the court should read the record because what Mr. Ramuno was telling us today is not supported by the record, and we'll find that out if we read it. So I would like you to give us one or two examples of assertions Mr. Ramuno's made this morning that are not supported by the record.
Okay. And I won't just limit it to this morning because we got here because of what was suggested at summary judgment and then in the briefs, and it's all the same. But
just one or two.
There's really two significant ones. One, that ice cream dripped, water or condensation was dripping from the containers of ice cream that were in Mr. Klingensmith's shopping cart, and that he must have, the jury could find that he walked through the area where the plaintiff slipped and fell. There's no evidence of that. The other contention is that there were these freezer doors that were being opened and closed by a ShopRite employee that had condensation on them that was dripping in the area where the plaintiff fell. And it's undisputed that where she fell was a low coffin case. There's no doors, and there was no evidence of condensation.
Can I follow up on that? What about the location she fell in relation to the pallet?
Mr. Ramuno was correct about that.
So it was nearby.
Yes. The record will reflect that the distance between the ice cream pallet and the side of the low freezer that she was next to was slightly wider than a shopping cart. She was traversing through an area.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was actually looking for where the individual employee said, we asked him that question, was he in that area when he was going through the carts? And it's in the record. I can't find it right this second. And he says, I don't know, one way or the other.
I'm sorry. Was he in that area when he was going through the carts? I don't understand that.
There was an indication about whether the employee that was bringing the ice cream from the freezers
right.
to the shelves had been in the area
okay.
where my client fell, where Hazel. And we asked him that question, and he says, I don't know. And I was trying to find it. Here's my point, and this is why I talked about different versions. We can be here all day long with different versions. We could have version 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 12. And 12 men and women may have 12 different versions. And so what I'm saying is if that one of those versions that they can reach is the version that basically leads to negligence.
But you do understand that one of those versions has to create the duty.
That's right.
And this whole argument really hasn't been about whether your client's telling the truth or whether all the facts that the defense would present at trial is the truth. It's about whether your best version of the facts is sufficient to create a duty to get past summary judgment.
Well, and I agree. And so that's what our job is, to try to determine, you know, is there one version that will get to that negligence? And Rivers talks about the issue concerning, well, as I told you earlier, slip and falls are not the perfect set of facts, especially if the plaintiff said, I don't know where the water came from. Obviously, it would have been better if she knew where the water came from, specifically said, here it is. But she was telling the truth. So consequently, the issue then, and then there's talk about the manager. Well, sure, you can ask the manager and you can say, I don't know. So does that mean we accept it? No, a jury has to decide whether you believe it or not believe it. So let's talk about, however, what makes common sense. Let's talk about direct and circumstantial evidence and say, okay, you have a pallet of ice cream that's sitting there long enough that there's sweating going on, which is, everybody agrees that that's what she said. And so then you, common sense says, okay, condensation falls on the floor, and we talked about a width away of a shopping cart, very close to where she fell, and then there's water there on the floor. So we could say, yes, there's all kinds of possibilities here, but within, you know, common sense, circumstantial evidence would lead a jury to believe it came from the pallet. So now we say, okay, here's a pallet that has ice cream. You leave it out long enough, it's going to melt. There is indication in the record, and I was going to actually quote it, and Your Honor did it for me, that basically said, yeah, it happens, I clean it up. Yes, the employees are there, they see it, it happens, it cleans up. The jury will have to decide all of this as to who's telling the truth, what the truth is.
Well, are there, in fact, facts that say an employee of the store has ever seen condensation that falls straight down from underneath a plastic wrapping of ice cream, finds its way out from under the pallet, onto the floor, some half a shopping cart or a full shopping cart away, and they've had to clean that up, as opposed to water that they have found in front of a different refrigerator door than the coffin refrigeration we've heard about here? Are you telling us that in the record there are store employees who have said, we have cleaned up condensation that has leaked from under a pallet onto the floor in the walkway of the ice cream aisle?
No, I'm not saying that.
Then
I'm saying that there was water next to this pallet, because one of the employees said he saw water next to the pallet. But where it came from is the issue that the jury has to decide.
So an employee said in the past he had seen water next to the pallet or on this
day? No, in this particular occasion, he saw water. In fact, Your Honor had indicated, you know, the quarter size comment that Your Honor made earlier.
The what?
He said he saw a tiny bit of water, and then when they asked him how much water, and he says a quarter size.
Right.
And that was next to the pallet where she fell. Because he had gone over there with the frozen food manager to find out why she fell. And that was after she had fell, and it may have been after another employee with a roll of paper had cleaned it up. And they went there, and they still saw water next to that pallet. But Your Honor's correct. There's no individual that's saying that this is what we know or don't know. But a jury will decide, I guess. Well, if you allow it to go to a jury, the jury will decide.
Well, in terms of establishing a situation, a recurring situation, what have you got other than the fact that we know that they load ice cream on a regular basis?
I don't have anything specific, I guess. We don't have an expert that says, okay, you have pallets, you leave it there, and it starts melting because of the heat, and it goes into condensation. In fact, sometimes the plaintiffs or the counsel, gets experts.
And an expert that would say not only does it fall directly beneath the pallet, because even Sir Isaac Newton knows that gravity pulls it straight down, but it somehow made its way independently out into the aisle.
And I was about to tell Your Honor that sometimes we do get experts that say these kind of things, and the trial court says, this is silly. Why are you bringing in an expert to say that rain from a roof is going to freeze onto the ground, if you remember that case on the shore? But what I'm saying is, yes, we don't have an expert that says that. So I guess if Your Honor say you have to have an expert that says what Your Honor indicates, then we will, in the future, I guess, get experts that
say
that.
Well, you asked for common sense, and my common sense is having some difficulty finding out how that water that dropped straight down under the pallet found its way out into the aisle without any kind of trail that was seen by anyone.
Well, okay, but yeah, I think you agree that it can happen. It's just that you're saying, why didn't the plaintiff see?
No, I don't agree that I could assume that it will move 2 feet one side or the other of the pallet. I do assume that condensation might fall straight down underneath the pallet, but no one's walking underneath the pallet.
But can flow, as you indicated, 2 feet away or something like along those lines.
I didn't indicate that it could. I was asking you, is there evidence that it had?
In this case, yes, yeah. Because the client fell in it.
Okay. We're out of time. We have. To
I understand, Judge.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
We'll take the case under advisement and recess.